We didn't have any money, but back then you could take out credit cards and they had like 24 months, no interest. So my brother and I were like, well, let's see how many we can take out. See how many credit cards will they give us, idiots? And spent it all. And we're like, all right, well, we're already broke. So I guess if this doesn't work, we'll just be more broke with bad credit. Like, what do we have to lose?
What would you say are some of those qualities of those people who figure it out?
The number one thing, in my opinion, is implementation. I see a lot of these guys that are, they know what to do. They know how to do it. You all have seen tons of them, and they just won't implement.
You move fast. Like, you move fast.
Progress over perfection type stuff.
Done's better than perfect. I think I was too strong in sales. I had friends that reached out or come over for dinner. And so I'm like, hey, you're going to use me for garage doors or whatever. And they're like, yes, but we need to tell you something. If it wasn't for you, we wouldn't have used your company. And so I took that, and our garage door company is much less salesy.
You also, like, you would pick a mentor a year or mentor every other year.
So Jamie was just the first one that kind of offered me his time. I'm still so grateful to him for that.
This is To The Point. A Rhino Experience. Voted one of the top home services marketing and operations podcasts. Cutting through the bullshit and getting to the point.
Hey, what's up, To The Point listeners? It's your boy, Chris, along with my co-host, Mr. Chad Peterman, which, by the way, Chad, I know it's late there. Actually, it's late for our guests, too, you East guys on East Coast time, 4:30. So, precursor that there's some potential that a little Blake Peterman could run into the office while Chad is on the podcast, since it is later there. You know, she has soccer she's got to get to, and Dad's got to take her. But Chad's still here for us because he doesn't want to miss another episode. Chad, what's up, buddy?
What's going on, my man? Excited to be here. Day after Easter. I think it, based on our call volumes this morning, I think a number of customers realized that, oh, shoot, I got out my Easter gear. Summer is a-coming. So, because it's only like 65 here, but our phones were just ringing off the hook today, which is a good thing. We'll take it, whatever the reason may be.
Nice little Easter, post-Easter gift to the Peterman brothers.
I like it.
Well, you know, listen, this is exciting because you and I both have a friend on here today. It's always nice when we have buddies on the podcast. We get to share their stories. And I'll tell you what, now that I think about it, on the fly, I'm thinking, wouldn't Keegan be a great speaker for our next Rhino X event? Don't you think he would be a good one to bring on to speak at that event? You can't really say no now because he's sitting on here looking at you, but you would have said yes anyhow, right?
100%.
Yeah, of course. So we got to talk him into coming on to it. But our buddy Keegan Hodges is on here, and Keegan was the co-CEO of Best Home Services, which is some OG shit down in Southwest Florida, him and brother Chad, right? Chad, you know, and this was like Best was the platform for what is now Apex. Is that not correct, Keegan?
We were the first company in Apex.
That's right, man. And you, that thing is a monster. You still have some love in that whole deal or what?
Just as an LP investor.
Gotcha. Okay. Well, now you're in the garage door business too, along with our good friend, Tommy. He's got, he's the chairman for Garage Door Partners, which has Mo Better Garage Doors. And also I think it's two other brands. I think it is down in the Florida, Georgia market, with a great team there. Got to know some of them. But Keegan's kind of like been in the game for a little bit. And actually, you know, and Keegan, you and I talked about this before I get too much into your history. The first time you and I met was either back in 14 or 15 at a Carrier factory authorized dealer meeting. Like, I think it was in Nashville at the Gaylord, I think. And it was at a bar. But only
maybe that's why I don't remember that much.
Well, maybe that's why I don't recall.
I'm just kidding. I do remember.
So a while ago. And that's when I was like, I just started hearing about, that's the first time I actually met you and heard you won some awards and stuff. And I heard about your business and I was like, damn, who is this guy? And actually, I think it was Jamie DiDomenico who even like may have introduced, I can't remember if I introduced it or not, but I know you spent some time with him, just learning from Jamie D. He's been on it before. It's been a while. We had to get him back on here. Dude would crush maintenance agreements. Like, he was like the king of building those things. But we met quite a while ago. And so more recently, you know, we have another good mutual friend in Tommy Mello, and you and your lovely wife, Larice, you know, and we've become friends, which is awesome. You know, and it's just been one of these deals where I'm like, we got to get you on here so we can tell a little bit of your story and what you took and you've taken away from Bess and applied into the garage door business, like what was relatable, just some of the things. So I want our listeners to hear from another OG in the space. I'm calling you an OG. It doesn't make you feel old, right?
A little bit. I do feel a little old in this industry, but a lot of young guys now, though.
There sure is. But you know what? Speaking of old, you know, I'm a dad. You know, and I like to share dad jokes, and they're not just because I feel like I'm, you know, I'm not old. Okay. I'm 45. I'm definitely not Keegan's age. So I'm only 45. He's got me by what? 10 years. I'm kidding. I'm kidding. Keegan's jacked, by the way, if you guys aren't watching and you're listening to this thing. So I'm glad he's in Florida while I talk shit to his face. Okay. So I have some dad jokes I want to share with you guys, and feel free to laugh if they're not funny. I know Chad will. So these are really good. I thought, you know, when I looked through my little calendar here that Berkeley gave me, you know, and I had a lot of, you know, a lot of dates to tear off because I've been traveling frequently. Lots of business meetings happening. So I went and found a couple that I thought would just land just right. So, Chad, are you ready?
Always, I guess.
Okay. And if you know the answer, Keegan, you feel free to just shout it out. I know how much of an extrovert you are. So just shout it out. Okay. First one. Okay, what did the janitor say when he jumped out of the closet? Not that closet. What did the janitor say when he jumped out of the closet? Supplies! You don't think that was good?
You know.
Supplies? Supplies?
All right, get on to the next two.
Okay. Okay. Did you hear about the ATM that got addicted to money? We all like to talk about money, right? Like, did you hear about the ATM that got addicted to money? Do you know what it suffered from? Withdrawals. Come on. That's pretty good. Is it pretty good? No? Okay. Fuck you guys. One more. We're going to bring it home right here. You ready? Are you ready? I don't know. Are you a, Keegan, are you a dog or a cat person or a neither person?
Dog.
Okay, me too. Chad, neither.
Yeah, we don't do. We do a lot of. We got a lot of pets at the house. Most of them are stuffed.
I was gonna say, I don't think I've ever noticed any cats or dogs at your place. So, okay, well, I'm a dog person as well. Recently, my daughter Fallon did a presentation for me. You know, trying to get me to give her a cat, which I do not want a cat in my house at all, ever. But she did a nice little deck, full-on presentation, and presented to me on why she should have a cat. So it was so good that I just said, okay, we'll foster a cat. We're 2 weeks in. Guess what? I don't own a cat. It just reaffirmed that I am not going to have a cat.
Fallon is not going to let you let you give the cat back.
She's putting the full court press on, but I'm telling you, like right now, no, thank you. Like I'm willing to take the heat for it. It's going to be short term disappointment. We'll move on.
Where's the cat now?
Cat's in her room. That's where it stays.
Okay. So it's still there. There's still it's a chance. Still
there. Keegan, listen, okay. You guys are like the blue pat. The point is that I gave in to her, but this is a cat joke.
Okay? I'm going to ship you some cat toys.
No,
that's what you need.
You're not doing any of it. Don't give Keegan any ideas too. Okay. What do you call a pile of cats? A pile. I know it sounds weird, but what do you call a pile of cats? A meountain. A meountain. Okay, let's get to the good shit. Thanks for bearing with me. Chad's going to use that one for Blake when she comes in here. She'll laugh at my jokes if she comes in. Actually, she won't. She won't even pay attention. Okay, let's get into this. Okay, because aside from the dad jokes, I know you all enjoy so much. You're welcome. Let's go ahead and get into Keegan's story because, like I said, he does have a really interesting background, and I always love when I get to have conversations with Keegan around business, especially the ones that I remember. Those are the more fun ones. But we have a lot of good conversation talk. Anytime he comes out to Arizona and we're hanging out with Tommy, that's pretty much what we always talk about. There's always some business related stuff, but we have a lot of fun doing it, right? Because we enjoy it. we all enjoy the business side of things. And you've been incredibly successful in business, and you continue to be successful in business. Now, I've noticed some traits about Keegan that I want to be able to bring up and share throughout this podcast that I think that I will say that has been applicable towards his success in business overall. But first off, Keegan, let's do this. Let's just go ahead and go back to like when you were just getting into starting Best, like maybe take our listeners through a little bit of that, like the come up with Best all the way up to your Apex deal. And then I'll touch a little bit more on the garage door part of it afterwards. Maybe we'll segue right into that afterwards, but let's just talk about the Best story real quick.
Sure. I started working when I was about 13 in the field. My dad was an electrician. So every summer break, every spring break, you know, I was always working, loved working in the field. Once in a while, they'd throw me off job sites and stuff and say, "Hey, you're too young, get out of here. Call your dad, tell him to come get you. Can't be here." But that was in the early years. And then my brother and I joined my parents in 2008. Great year for the country in 2008.
Awesome. Yeah. 08, 09. Great timing.
Yeah. Hopefully we're not seeing that again. So 2008, it was tough. They were an electric company. I think they had about 12 employees, and we joined them to start air conditioning. I went to school for air conditioning, got licensed, all that stuff. We started air conditioning. I think we did close to 400,000 our first year. We were very proud of that. and then the next year, I think we doubled that or whatever. And then we eventually, I think in 2010, we bought our parents out of their business. And then 2012, we brought on plumbing. And then that's probably when it really started to take off. You mentioned a guy a few minutes ago, Jamie DiDomenico. 2010, he joined Nexstar. I was already a Nexstar member. I remember back then they used to send out like these catalogs. I guess we weren't too familiar with the internet back then, I guess. I don't know. So they had these catalogs and it had every owner's picture. And it would say how many trucks you had and your size and all this. And he was huge, you know, in Florida. I was like, man, look at this. You know, telling my brother, I got to meet this guy. So called him up. And he said, sure, come on up. He was in Sarasota. We were down in Naples. He said, come on up. And we went and spent the whole day with him. You know, he didn't even know us. He gave us the whole day of his time. And it was just eye-opening. You know, and I remember leaving there. And we were like, we can do this. We can do this, you know. And then Jamie continued helping us. He was really big in our success in those years. 2010 came around. He kind of taught us about how to work. There was this thing, they had a tax credit back then. I don't know if you all remember that.
But, oh, yeah. I remember that. Okay.
Tax credit selling air conditioners. So he taught us how to take advantage of that. And then he taught us about marketing. And so marketing is what really made us take off. I'm sure a lot of listeners know about that. Marketing is a lot more prevalent today than it was back then. Back then, we didn't really have anybody that was doing much marketing in our area. And so, you know, we learned enough to be dangerous, and we didn't have any money. But back then, you could take out credit cards, and they had like 24 months, no interest. So my brother and I were like, well, let's see how many we can take out. See how many credit cards will they give us, idiots? And they gave us quite a few. And we're like, all right, we got 24 months to do this.
Is this your professional advice?
And so we did it and spent it all. And we're like, all right, well, we're already broke. So I guess if this doesn't work, we'll just be more broke with bad credit. Like, what do we have to lose? So that's kind of how we got started. And man, we started to market. Started doing TV and radio and all kinds of postcards and all kinds of stuff. And it just immediately started working, and because no one else was doing it. And so I'd say we had a good 3-year run of branding, you know, pretty heavily before our competitors started to wake up. And by then it was kind of too late. So that's kind of how we took this market down here.
And did it. So I love that you pulled out. By the way, I don't know that Keegan would give you this advice. He's just sharing his story. Okay. So don't look too far. He's just sharing his story that he bet on the cards and the no interest, you know, and said, you know, if it doesn't work out, we're just going to be poor and have shitty credit. not a strategy.
Well, still poor, just bad credit.
Well, and then your brother kept the cards, right? Didn't he? Because they obviously
he's got him on his wall still. Yeah.
That's awesome, man. I love it. So real quick, hang on a second. Maybe for some perspective, when you guys did that before you started using the cards on marketing, where were you guys at roughly on like size of business?
I would say maybe, I don't know, 20 employees maybe.
Okay. Okay. So then you start marketing. All right. And you're doing some branding and now it's all starting to work and you guys are seeing some growth happening and your bet paid off.
Paid off. And then we partnered with Carrier and, you know, back then I think it was maybe a bigger deal back then than it is today. Just seems like things are different today.
Yeah. They used to give more marketing funds too.
But it was a big deal. Like you didn't just call up and be like, hey, I'd like to be a Carrier dealer. You had to get invited to the table and, it was a big deal. And yeah, the marketing dollars things were a lot different back then. But partnered with Carrier, that was a good partnership. And then, just started to grow. We always stuck with Nexstar. And then so in fast forward to 2019, we partnered with a private equity group called Alpine Capital. And then we started Apex.
Okay. So when you partnered with Alpine, what was the size of Best at that time?
I'd say maybe 300 employees.
Okay. So slightly larger than 20.
A little bit.
Keegan, I got a question for you. Cause like, you know, the whole, I think it's interesting. Like if I traced my story, it was running into somebody who gave me a chance and what allowed me to see what was possible. And it sounds like for you, Jamie was that guy of like, oh my God, like this is what's possible. I think we can do it. And I know, you know, just us knowing each other, you've probably talked to a lot of people who, you know, whether they have a similar story or not, they're trying to build something that's bigger than what it is. And obviously there's some that succeed and some that fail. You know, if you're talking to listeners who they're resonating with the story, they're like, yeah, I took out the credit cards. I'm betting on myself. I'm doing all of this. What would you say, like talking to people from your seat now, having been, you know, achieved success, done things, whatever it is, when you talk to those people, like what separates the people from like, all right, if I got to place a bet on somebody who's going to win versus somebody who's going to probably struggle, what are those couple of things that like you automatically pinpoint from the winners? Like, all right, this guy, he's got it. Like, he's going to figure this out. Like, you know, I gave him some advice. I kind of opened the door, kind of let him see things, but like, he's going to figure it out. Like, what would you say are some of those qualities of those people who figure it out? Because I think a lot of people find themselves in that situation of like, God dang, this is hard. Like, I'm trying to figure this out. What am I going to do? But then there's ultimately people that succeed. So what would you say that you've seen over your years of just like advising people, being a mentor, whatever it is that, you know, all right, they've got what it takes.
One thing you'll hear a lot from Blue On users, they've stopped ordering the wrong part. Derek from FH Fuhrer used to trust vendors for parts only to send his techs out with the wrong one, costing time, money, and customer trust. Since bringing on Blue On, their misses have dropped to zero. He even says that if a mistake happens now, it's usually because someone didn't run it through Blue On. It's become essential to their parts process. And here at Peterman Brothers, we're definitely seeing that impact too. Click on the link in the description and grab a quick demo. It will be worth it.
In home services, speed to lead is everything. Chirp stands out by transforming your communication strategy. With Chirp, accelerate your lead response time with instant SMS text messaging, email, and ringless voicemail automation. Chirp's cutting-edge technology ensures you're the first and the most persistent, helping you close more deals than ever. But that's not all. Say goodbye to missed opportunities with Chirp's incredible follow-up system. Keep your leads engaged and moving smoothly through your sales funnel without lifting a finger. And with your deep integrations with top CRMs like ServiceTitan, HouseCall Pro, and Jobber, you can launch laser-targeted campaigns to connect with the exact right leads at the exact right time. Automation creates efficiency. Efficiency unlocks scalability. With Chirp, you can automate speed to lead, estimate follow-ups, rehash, abandoned call follow-ups, canceled job follow-ups, review requests, outbounding to your list, annual reminders, membership expiration follow-ups, and so much more. So stop chasing leads. Capture them. Connect faster and close more deals with Chirp. Contact Chirp today and elevate your communication game.
Yeah, I think things are different today, you know, than in 2010. I mean, these guys coming up now have so much more at their fingertips. There was no podcast back then. You know, all these, you know, groups around the country that you could join. There was Nexstar and, you know, that was probably the best thing. But like what you all do and stuff, your groups, your meetings that you speak at, there was none of that stuff. There's just so much. I mean, and it's very easy today to learn how to market. You know, Google it, figure it out, watch YouTube videos. So today I think it's easier to gain access on what to do and how to do it. And so today I would tell somebody the number one thing, in my opinion, is implementation. I see a lot of these guys that are, they know what to do. They know how to do it. You all have seen tons of them and they just won't implement. And then the other big thing is just, you know, putting things off, like delay gratification. And I see today that that's very hard for these guys to do that are wanting to come up. They want it all now. And, you know, I built my business to 10 million. I just want to sell it now. Like everybody wants to sell their business. So delay gratification. And if you can't implement, it's so easy today to know what to do and how to do it. But can you go implement?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and I think what people forget is like, you know, when you get to sell your business, like, the work's just begun. Like now you have a boss that's going to dictate success and failure. It's not, hey, you know, yeah, I had a bad month, so we'll rebound. No, like you're going to have to answer for that, and they're going to hold you accountable to, you know, moving it forward. And I think, you know, at least in the people that I've talked to, it's the people that are willing to be held accountable for the results. And like, hey, that didn't go well. You know, I remember in the early years for us, it was, you know, our business coach, John, whatever John said, I did. And I knew that I had a call with John in 30 days and he was going to say, well, did you do it or did you not? And I didn't want to let John down. He was like my dad at the time, you know, I was like, shit, I got to make this guy proud. and so I just did it. Like sometimes not even asking any questions, just saying, well, he said to do it, so I might as well do it.
That Conway?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. That's one of the things I picked up from you, Keegan, too, is you move fast. Like you move fast. And because I've really only known you, let's just say this past year, like we've really gotten to know each other. But has that been how you've like, were you, I mean, it doesn't take skill to move fast, right? Like it just is taking action. Is that something that you, when like, even as you and your brother were building Best, were you like that all the way back then too? You're just like, hey, let's just go. Let's just move fast. Has that always been part of the strategy?
I've always been that way. Like done's better than perfect.
Yeah. Progress over perfection type stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You guys have seen, you know, the people out there that they have to get, you know, their trucks perfect and the shelving and the bins on it and everything labeled. And then they want to talk about, I want to barcode everything. And like 3 years later, they're still trying to figure that out.
Yeah. I mean, I love this idea of just going right. And I was just having this debate last week around my jump and then throw the parachute methodology. Let me just add to that. I think you pick a really good, expensive, well thought out parachute that's been built. Okay. So I'm jumping with the parachute that I know is going to fucking open. Okay. And it's going to get me to the ground softly. Right. I might, maybe I hit a few limbs on the way down. Maybe I'll jump far enough. But I definitely, am an adopter of that model. But man, I find out too, sometimes when these things get big, these businesses get big, you can't. Like sometimes you do, it's like everything takes forever to make this decision. Next thing you know, it's 30 days later and I still wanted to make this decision forever ago. And we're still like here. Like, it's so frustrating, to be able to do that. But it seems like that's always pretty much been part of your methodology is do it. I mean, shit, Chad just says, oh, John said to do it. I guess we're doing it.
Right.
But something else I appreciate about you that I think is good, and this is where you and Anna are quite a bit alike, is she's pretty straightforward. Like there's no like second guessing on where you stand with her. It's pretty clear, like on where she's at. And you kind of have that straightforward, personality too, where you kind of call it as you see it, And if you're not refined, that can come across as like you're an asshole, right? It could be disruptive to the culture of a business, especially as a leader. But there's a way that you can do it too, I think, that actually comes across respectful too. So, I mean, here you are trying to move fast. You're very straightforward on letting people know where they stand. Like, how was that impacting the growth? Like, were people being like, God, Keegan's such an asshole? Or are you like, Keegan, were like, he's like, nah, man, I'm just like, well, tell him like it is. I just don't want to hear it. Like, did you run into some roadblocks having that kind of a personality?
Not really. No. You're not doing it out of anger. I mean, right. If you're doing it out of anger, then, that's wrong. I'm just a believer of let people know where you stand. I mean, there's a joke. I hear my CFO once in a while, he'll talk to people that like, listen, Keegan's not going to give you a scorecard because you're going to know every day what your score is with him.
Well, yeah, it's just accountability, right? That's all it is. But the delivery matters, right? Like the delivery
Of course.
Because there's like a finesse to that too. And some people don't know how to do it. It's a skill. That's why you have to do. We had on this gentleman, Michael Cato. Oh, which by the way, was awesome, Chad. I'm so glad you got to hear that intro with him from Maps Consulting.
Yeah.
Goodrich's guys on, help you with those leadership skills, those finesse skills. But to me, what I keep hearing from you, Keegan, and which I think anybody listening can take some of these things and apply them to move the business, is you can move fast and you let people know where they stand. So that way they understand, are we on the right path? Are we not on the right path? And we're not waiting a week to make a correction we could have done, a week ago. So it's just like, hey, let's just be direct. We're all on the same team here trying to do the same thing, and what gets measured gets managed. So, be honest, like be upfront and, the longer you let it, sit, I think the harder it is to recover from in some instances. So you just kind of got to be direct and move on.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's been my philosophy. I mean, not everybody likes me, but oh well.
Now, you were kind of early to the game on with going with Alpine and Apex you're at the forefront of all this private equity stuff. Is the things that you learned that you've kind of, cause you've learned quite a bit. And like I said, I lean on you because to me, you've learned so much in the financial world and in the M&A world that I'm always like, Keegan, and I have to ask you for advice. Cause I've only been in it a couple of years now and I'm still learning, but at least I can go to you and you give me some answers. Is some of the things that how easy was it for you to transition from this holy trinity of HVAC, plumbing, and electrical world, and then applying that over to the garage door business? Like, were there some like things that you took over that were relatable with that help you scale this? Cause now I think I think you might even be one of the largest privately held garage door businesses today. Is that right? Or somewhere up there towards the top. Isn't that right?
Yeah. I mean, there's some big commercial groups out there,
but residential,
but yeah, residential maybe.
So what did you bring over? Like, you're just like, hey, all I did was, I did this here with Best and then with Garage Door Partners, I just did this here. Like, what was that you just rolled over that, was the skill that helped you? Cause it's a big business.
It's all the same. I mean, it's a home service industry. I mean, it's the same customers. So the same customers that you were fixing their air conditioner for, now you're fixing their garage. So you already know what customers want, how to do it. And then, if you're going to start up a new business, you're going to be as good as the team around you. So, I was fortunate. I was able to pull together a really strong team, still pulling together a strong team, but a really strong team. Some of them have been with me in the past. Some of them weren't. Some of them worked with me in some way or, you know, or another in the past. But yeah, it's all, I mean, if you're going to try and if you get the opportunity to have a do-over in life, it's nice. You know what to do. You know what not to do. You build your team around you and go execute.
Keegan, what were some of those things, I guess, maybe to kind of expound upon that question? Cause I think about this a lot, like, and people ask me like, oh, should I get into this business? Should I not? Like, what were the things when you started, like you put together like, all right, I'm going to go into garage doors. What were like the two or three things that you were like, all right, I majorly screwed this up, in the HVAC space, or this was a problem we had to handle way down the road that I wish we would have just nipped it in the bud early on, that you like, hey, these are non-negotiables when we start this business. This is how we're going to do it. Maybe not like from a, like a tactical standpoint, but like overall, this is what the company is going to look like. I'm going to put these two or three things in place to start so that we don't have to fight it down the road.
Yeah. So I'll say this. I don't know if very many people will agree with it. I think I was too strong in sales, in HVAC and electric and plumbing. By being too strong, I mean too pushy. So after I sold the company, or partnered with someone, it's a bad word. I had friends that reached out or come over for dinner and, so I'm like, hey, you're going to use me for garage doors or whatever. And they're like, yes, but we need to tell you something. If it wasn't for you, we wouldn't have used your company. Kudos to you. You've trained your people amazing, but every time you come to my house, I'm getting out my checkbook. and that's not what we want to see, you know, and it's every time. And so I took that and our garage door company is much less salesy. And to give you an example on a maintenance, we run maintenances in garages like you would an air conditioner. I don't allow our maintenance techs to sell. They can renew your maintenance. And they can, I think they can change out the rollers in your garage, like from metal to nylon to make it quieter. But other than that, they don't have access to the price book. They can't sell. A perfect day for a customer is, you know, if you've been taking care of their garage door, their air conditioner or whatever, is to come out and say, this looks amazing. You've done like everything we've asked you to do. We've recommended it. I'm giving you an A on this. It's perfect. You don't need to do anything. I'll see you again in 6 months. Like that's what a customer wants to hear. And so that's one, you know, thing that I've done in this business. And so just to not, I guess, not be all about ringing the cash register all the time. Delay gratification, like I was saying a little bit ago. You don't have to get that today. Delay it. It's going to come in the future.
I like that. Yeah, I mean, that's very similar. Like mine is on maintenance. Like here's the deal. Like get a 5-star review and make sure that that customer asks for you the next time that they have their maintenance. No. I want to wait on Johnny. I don't care if he's booked out 2 weeks and that's when you can squeeze me in. Like to me, for a maintenance guy, like that is, you know, go in, do your job, get a 5-star review and make sure that customer's like, to your point, is like, dude, you got to call these guys. Like I love, and not only call these guys, ask for Johnny because he's awesome. And again, we know behind the scenes, like maintenance is, you know, anybody could, I got plenty of guys who could perform that, but like if you make that connection with that customer, we're going to have them for life and they'll spend money over the course of their time with us.
Right. Yeah. I mean, another thing I'm doing, I mean, this would be, you know, if you're thinking about, you know, partnering with private equity, they're a lot smarter than they were 5-6 years ago. Private equity's learned a lot in the home service industry. And if you built a business where you have literally just squeezed every drop out of that lemon, private equity is much smarter. They know that you've squeezed every drop out of that lemon now. So they're going to do market studies on you. They're going to look and see what your market share is. And if you're in one market and you own, you know, a giant percentage of that market, there's no upside for them. So that's another thing that I'm mindful of is just build a business that this thing just f- for the next, 20 years, the customers will just keep coming. You know, you don't have to get all the revenue now. And that's what private equity wants.
So I do want to, and part of this conversation, talk about acquisition versus greenfield, but I want to get to that. I want to take a step back real quick. Because part of this, of your journey too, and these things that you've learned, and we've kind of talked about mentors a little bit, is if I didn't hear this right, I'm sure you'll let me know. But I thought part of your learning process too is, like, we're talking about Jamie D, is you also, like, you would pick a mentor a year, or mentor every other year, or something like that, that you would learn some stuff from, or maybe it was using the same mentor a year, or maybe you were suggesting for everyone to get a mentor a year. I was listening to Tommy's podcast that you guys did a while ago. Was that something that you actually, like, you would try and find someone new to learn from a year, or is this a suggestion that you're giving? Is like, hey, like, you know, make, like, you were able to lean on Jamie D, you know, to help with things, because he was like the behemoth, you know?
Yeah, sure. So Jamie was just the first one that kind of offered me his time. I'm still so grateful to him for that. But after Jamie, there was another guy. He was a 1 hour guy. He was out in Arizona. I worked with him for about a year, and then I outgrew, him. And then there was this guy
up in Indianapolis. Was there somebody up in Indianapolis that you knew?
I can get to that. Then there was a guy up in New Jersey, and he was putting out all over Facebook what he was doing up there. And I'm like, okay, I got to reach out to this guy. So I reach out to this guy, and he's bigger than Jamie DiDomenico. And what's the name of his company up in Jersey? Mike
Gold Medal.
Gold Medal. What's Mike and Rob?
Agugliaro? Agugliaro, whatever the hell. Agugliaro.
Mike Agugliaro and Rob Zadotti.
Zadotti, that's it, yeah.
So I reach out to them, and I go visit them, and we agree upon I'm going to pay them so much money per month, and they're going to mentor me. And so we do that, and there's this other guy, Winters, up in Boston.
Oh, yeah.
I can't remember his name anymore.
He's a part, they're a part of Legacy Service.
He was Nexstar, and he's with private equity now.
Bill?
What's that?
Bill? I don't know.
I can't remember. But anyway, so it was me and him and my brother. And so they mentored us, and then Mike started this group called
CEO Warriors.
Yeah. So I stayed with Mike and Rob for probably 2 years, and then he turned it into a business, when it started out with just us. And I was like, well, time for me to move on. They taught us a ton, a ton. And then I reached out to Jamie DiDomenico, and I said, hey, one of your partners, Ken Haynes is partners with a guy named Joe Huck up in Indy. I want to meet Joe. And I said, what does he like to do? And they said, well, he golfs. And I said, okay, give me his phone number. So I just texted him out of the blue, and I said, I understand you got a place in Fort Myers Beach. I want to take you golfing. You don't know me, but I want to take you golfing. And eventually I got to take him golfing. So then I made a deal with him, and we actually became very close friends. And I worked with him for about 2 years until I got too big. And his partners were threatened by us. And so they said, you can't help them anymore.
Joe loves his Tommy Bahama. You could have just got him a extra tall, long Tommy Bahama shirt, and he'd have loved it.
Yeah, he loves golf too. And then after that, kind of running out of people to be mentored by. And so we got invited. Trying to remember who called. I think Jonathan Bancroft with Morris Jenkins called me one day and said, hey, we've got this group called the Families Group. We'd like to invite you to join it. And so we joined this group called the Families Group. That was at one point it was like Horizon Services, Morris Jenkins, Service Champions,
yep.
North and South, Milestone in Dallas.
It's a hell of a group.
Rooter Hero. I mean, we were like the biggest in the country, And those are all, you know, they're all, you guys have them at your events speaking and stuff, all those guys.
Yeah.
So that was a great group. Glad to be a part of that one.
Yeah. So the answer is, yeah, you like to, go and learn shit, you know, from different mentors all along the way. I mean, we talk about this all the time. You know, Chad and I do, about reaching out to people and asking, especially because there's so many more options today. And so many people are willing to help. And it's so easy to get in touch with anybody today, pretty much.
Much easier.
So let's do this. Let's transition just a little bit. And then Chad, I'm guessing Blake's probably close to being there, or maybe getting closer. Way.
Probably about 5:30. Anyway. She may miss her, she's always asking about when she gets to do another commercial. She was in one of the commercials, and that's like her big thing. I'm like, honey, we'll let you know. All right. But no, I'm all good.
Okay. Well, I do want to make this transition though into, acquisition versus greenfield strategy. You know, Chad and I've had these conversations. Chad's been through both of these two of Peterman Brothers. And you know, what is, if you had to pick one, which one would be your strategy and why? What's up to the point, listeners? If you're working with a marketing agency to drive traffic, what happens when a customer lands on your website? Contractor Commerce helps top contractors like Summit Heating, who generated over $500,000 in new install revenue using instant estimates for HVAC systems, water heaters, and generators right on their website. And companies like my boy Chatty P's, Peterman Brothers, are building recurring revenue with a touch-free filter delivery program powered by Contractor Commerce. Rhino brings the leads. Contractor Commerce helps you close them. It's a good 1-2 punch. Visit contractorcommerce.com to start e-commerce today. Sorry for the interruption. To the point, listeners, have you heard of Rilla? Are you using Rilla yet? If not, are you for Rilla? See what I did there? Rilla is the leading speech analytics software for the trades. It is on a mission to bring physical ride-alongs to an end. You can coach your reps with virtual ride-alongs now. They're 100 times better, faster, and much more efficient than the physical ones. All you got to do is use the Killa Rilla. That's R-I-L-L-A, Rilla.
I mean, that's just hard to answer. I mean, you know, it depends on what your resources are, right? I mean, do you have... Do you have the capability to put together the money to buy an acquisition? You know, and then can you execute once you buy one?
Well, so just walk me through it. Okay.
Let's just say that you don't have money to go buy companies, right?
Right.
So then my answer is greenfield, right?
Okay.
Greenfield is extremely difficult. Neither one of the two are easy. Greenfield's difficult. There's pluses and minuses.
Yep.
What's that?
Said hard for different reasons.
Yes, hard for different reasons. You know, you're starting in some other market from scratch. Nobody knows you. You know, hiring people, you're going to get everyone else's leftovers that they fired and didn't want. You know, or they have, you know, their problems. There's a reason why they're not employed. You know, and that's who you're getting because nobody knows you. You know, so now you've got the bottom of the barrel for your technicians and your installers and your employees. And that's how you're going to war with that army. So that's tough. Positives, though, is you get to start with whatever brand you want to call it. There's no, you know, confusion in the market with that. And it's just a clean start. Acquisitions are nice. You acquire all that revenue. It's there day one. It lives on the balance sheet, you know, so it's not on your P&L. Great for EBITDA. You know, very difficult though. You're buying some other owner's way of doing business, maybe radically different than yours. You're buying employees that were loyal to someone else, and now you're asking them to be loyal to you. That doesn't always work out. And you're asking their customers to be loyal to you when they were loyal to someone else. That doesn't always work out. The fastest way to grow is acquisition. So I can't really answer the question. Like they both have their pluses and minuses.
Yeah. I mean, the reason I ask that question is like, you know, if I think I'm a contractor who is wanting to, who doesn't have the money or, you know, doesn't have the capital to go and do an acquisition, but wants to open up another market, well, they've got a playbook. If they feel comfortable with their playbook and they want to maintain the same brand, like Chad's done with Peterman Brothers, you know, just started to go into these other little pocket markets. You can, it's easier in that way to do it, but you're right. You're going in with now zero brand equity. Right. But you're also going in with your own playbook. So hopefully you have, you know, you've at least thought through a good marketing strategy, right, to start keeping people busy up there. Right.
I mean, it is a little easier nowadays on the greenfield side because you can be whoever you want to be online. Right. So you can go out there and you can go to India and buy a bunch of fake reviews and tell everybody you're the largest company in town. And, you know, you can be everybody you want to be.
Yeah. My advice has always just been your current market. If you're running a strategy where you're looking for growth, your current market's a hell of a lot bigger than you think it is. And just keep doing the things that you're doing in your current market. Unless you've reached scale or you have a, strategy of acquisition, similar to what you guys are doing in the garage door space to where, yeah, it makes sense. To me, people are looking for growth in kind of the shiny object syndrome where like, hey, man, like what market are you in? How big are you? We're doing 5 million here. Well, you could probably do 30. So maybe just focus in that same market.
Right. I see today, I don't know why. I know why. It's because of podcasts and stuff like this. People are so eager to expand that they just want to expand into new markets before they've even, you know, squeezed all of the juice out of the lemon in their own market.
Yeah. You know, I did it.
Yeah.
Living proof. Yeah. I've done it. But now we're going, so we got to figure it out.
Right. I mean, Chris, I started the garage doors with acquisitions, because I didn't know what the hell I was doing in garage doors. I had spent enough time around Tommy, to be dangerous. And so I had to get started some way. So I started through acquisitions. And now I'll do a little tuck-in acquisition in about 30 days. But I'm not entering any new markets right now. I'll do acquisitions within my market that I'm already in, or markets. Other than that, we're just growing by organic.
Yeah. You have and like you talked about doing little tuck-ins. Like, what is it that you're looking for in these little tuck-ins? Are these just like people, how are you finding them first off? But then what are you looking for in these guys that say, okay, cool, this is one that I want? Cause like you kind of talk about it like it's just a, hey, I'm just trying to bring this in and, you know, like, oh, we need more leads. Perfect. I'm going to go buy this company over here and take over their GMVs. And like, we're going to go to work. Like, what? It's gotta be more than that. They're like, what are you looking at? I'm like, when you say, yep, that's a good tuck-in, right? For me.
So usually they fall on your lap. I mean, I have two guys that dial for dollars pretty much. But they, I mean, you could say, hey, I want these companies. It never works out that way. You know, they wind up telling you like, okay, hey, this guy's interested in a conversation, you know, and the little deals are, I mean, they're harder than the big deals to get done. You have to hold their attorney's hands for them and everything. Not fun, but so I look for companies, that have been in business, you know, quite a while, have a strong GMB, lots of reviews, strong presence online. And then, you know, I'll call their vendors and stuff and, you know, see how their reputation is with the vendors and, just looking for something that, you know, it is a tuck in or that can be folded in, that, and not have big, much disruption when that happens. You know, like literally like the day of the transaction, you know, the phone numbers are turning over to website and it should be seamless.
What are those kind of key areas that you look for? Like, I know that, you know, like as an example, I'm looking and not all the time can you get the data, but you know, booking rates, conversion rates, average tickets, different stuff like that, that you know that, okay, if I pay X, I can immediately double the size of this thing. Are you looking for, is there any of that in the, I assume there is, in the garage door space?
There is. But I mean, I discount a lot of the revenue. Like, so let's just say they're doing $1 million in sales, you know, life doesn't always work out how you think it's going to. So I might say, you know what, I'm going to discount this down, or I'm going to do 600,000 in sales, you know, out of it. But yes, you're looking at average tickets and stuff. And you know, usually our prices are higher than theirs, our conversions and all that. It's great if they have a CRM, or it's great if they have like call tracking software. So you can, but I've bought, you know, great tuck-ins where they have nothing. And I've asked the owner, I said, okay, for the next 45 days, I want you to pencil and paper tally mark how many phone calls you get in with the dates on them. And I will get tally marks like 1, 2, 3, 4 with a cross through it, like for each day. And I've bought businesses that way.
Got to do what you got to do.
That's great. I guess that I was going to say Excel spreadsheets, but shit, you one upped me with the tally marks.
Oh, I bought a business one time, and I'll never forget. I went into this guy's office, sat down with him, and I was like, you know, like, I get it. You're not tracking all this stuff. He's like, let me show you some. So we go back in this like back room, and he's got, if everybody remembers the old service call, like it was like a sheet, and it was I'm really dating myself. It was like yellow. It had like a carbon copy of it.
Oh yeah.
And like you'd have the service call sheets, and he had a literally, I kid you not, a board that was just in this wall. And there had to have been 50 of these sheets just push pinned on this thing. And I go, what, Paul, tell me a little bit about this. What's going on here? What are these? Oh, these are all the people that called, and they're just waiting on us to tell them that we can come out and get it. I go, sold. That's all the CRM I need. It was post-it notes on a damn board. But I was like, holy shit, I go, start pulling those off. Let's start calling these customers.
Right. Can we get this deal done right now here?
Yeah, and he's like, the work's already sold. We just got to go do it. I'm like, gee, many Christmas. All right, let's do this.
There's a whole nother side to this though. I mean, you have to, the biggest thing is with these tuck-ins is they're usually too small. They're not going to attract private equity. They're not going to really have a buyer, and you know, they're looking for, you know, a way out of the business to either go pursue some other passion or retire. And if you're able to provide that, that at the end of the day, that's what they need. That's a solution they needed. So you're looking for people that, you know, need that solution. And if you can be that good solution, then you can get a deal done.
You're going to win some, you're going to lose some.
You win very few. I mean, you look at a whole bunch and you do very few.
I meant more of like some of the deals that you actually got done, like maybe. I don't know. I, you know, one thing I'll be interested in to talk about, and it's, we're not going to be able to accomplish on this one, is the seller financing model.
That's easy.
Yeah. It's easy. Yeah. Here. It is. It's way easier if you don't have money, if you can do seller financing to buy. Well, I guess, for the sake of time for chat, I won't hit on that one, but we for sure should do an episode on seller financing. I think that could be an interesting one to talk about. Have you guys ever heard of Cody Sanchez? You ever heard of her before? She kind of like does some speaking and stuff like that. No, she wrote a book called Millionaire Mindset. Okay, whatever.
No.
Both of you are looking at me like I'm a fucking idiot. But because I said I read a book, I know that's why you're looking at me like that.
Kind of. No, you don't read. I'm sure you just listen. No,
I didn't actually read the book at all. You're right. I did listen to it, though. That's correct. But it was enough to where I was just trying to learn like some different seller financing models. It's interesting. Like, it is interesting how you can approach deals that way, you know, but a lot of it was around kind of like what you're talking about, Keegan, is it's mostly around these deals that are too small for private equity to look at, you know? So, and it's like, they set a criteria you look for, like, you know, you don't want a new business. You want a tenured business, you know, one that's kind of been stagnant on growth, and like somebody that's either maybe looking to get out of a relationship that they're in with their partnership, or they're just looking to retire. So there's like metrics, you know, like these little scorecard that adds up to says, yeah, this is a good acquisition, you know, that you could do and roll some seller financing through. So it was interesting, you know, to learn about it. But I think I was texting you at the same time I was reading that book. If I think about it,
Okay. And in the garage door space, there is a ton of opportunity for these little deals. The garage doors, they're just not as big as AC and plumbing companies. And there's tons of opportunities, but a lot of these owners, they don't really know what those opportunities are. So a lot of them think that they're stuck, you know, and I can never get out of this. I'm stuck. But there are guys like me out there that would love to talk to them.
Yeah. And are you just buying them straight up? Are you having to give them any sort of like equity incentive type stuff or any like, you know, phantom stock or anything like that to get these deals done? Are they straight buyouts and they move on?
The smaller deals are buyouts. I mean, for someone to stay in and become a partner with me, they can't want to retire.
Like, right.
You know, they've got to be ready to go and build something. But yeah, I mean, I've got several partners that have stayed on board and they're working today with me.
Just keep stacking the EBITDA.
Yeah.
Well, listen, I don't have anything else, man. I always love talking to you, man. We blew through a 55 minutes or whatever the hell. It's been real quick. So 50 minutes on this episode. But and I appreciate you hopping on with us. I knew it was a little bit of a pain in the ass to get it locked down, but we did it on a Monday, which is okay. We got you on here. You're good to go. Now I know you still have to walk clear home.
Because I got to walk home from here, man. I got a 30-minute walk.
You know, Keegan doesn't drive
to that. Times are tough now. I had to sell my car.
Times are real tough.
Don't let Keegan fool you. He's got a nice golf cart down there. I rode in it right from his office to his house.
Is that what that thing's called? A golf cart? Wait, what's the other thing that you
have? I mean, it was fancy, but it was a golf cart to a certain extent.
Right.
Well, Keegan, I appreciate you coming on here, man, and sharing. Like, and I'm serious, man. We got to get you out to the next Rhino X as a speaker. I'm going to talk you into that.
Maybe you can talk me and come see me at the lake. Maybe we'll talk about it.
All right, we'll talk about it there, and then we'll lock it down at the lake. That's what we're doing. I'd love to go up there. I love hanging out up in Idaho.
All right.
Well, I appreciate you, dude. Chad, you got anything else, man?
I don't. Appreciate you coming on, as always. I know we've gotten to know each other here over the last couple of years, which is I'm extremely grateful for, and your advice and everything like that. And I think, you know, for me, the biggest takeaway, and I was glad you shared your story, is like, hey, there's so many people out there willing to help. There's so many lessons learned that you may not have to learn the hard way if you just ask and put yourself out there to, you know, I think the story about you and Joe Huck, that's fantastic. And obviously being in Indianapolis, I know Joe and hell, I know most of his family, it seems, because the South Side's always connected. No, I just appreciate you sharing that. You know, I think listeners can take a lot away of like, hey, you know, While you have, you know, a number of successes to, you know, look back upon, it all started the same exact way as everybody else's story. It all started of, you know, two brothers with a dream and we're going to figure this thing out and we're going to bet on ourselves and we're going to make something happen. So I think that that is always a good reminder to everybody that regardless of where you are, you know, if you have the vision and the willingness to work your ass off, you can make anything happen for sure.
That sounds like a great way to end the podcast, Chad. Well done.
Sounds good.
That's what I'm here for. It's Monday. I'm fresh, ready to roll.
So what I heard from all that was take out a bunch of credit cards, put all your
money. That was not the advice. The advice was you do whatever you have to do so long as you believe in the dream. And if you believe in it, you can figure out a way to make it happen. You know, some people have to take out credit cards. Others are just going to have to work their ass off and figure it out and go after it. But, you know, as long as you believe in it, it's a worthwhile dream.
There we go. Listeners, I don't have to say anything else. Chad just closed it out for us. All nice like. And you know what he said?
You already hit the stop button.
No, he didn't hit the stop button just yet. Don't worry. Hey, you mind your own business over there, Keegan, okay? Mind your own damn business, okay? All right, listeners, we're going to get out of here before Keegan starts to take over again. You don't got to do everything, but you got to do something. Keegan, what does my shirt say?
No 0 days.
No 0 days.